Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember the resource for the month, Never Give Up. It is the story of a broken man impacting a generation. The book is titled Never Give Up, the author K.P. Yohannan, and the broken man is none other than the author of Never Give Up, K.P. Yohannan, who was broken in many ways through an incredible trial that he shares in this book. This, I said about last year's or last month's resource of the month as well. I mean, this is a gripping book. It's a book that I've read quite a number of times. In fact, just today I did our 100th podcast, and I did it with K.P. Yohannan, and we'll be doing the broadcast with him this month as well. He has established an incredible ministry, Gospel for Asia, and there's so much that's being done in the 1040 window with 1.6 billion people, the establishment of 12,000 churches in 16 nations and encompassing some 300 languages. And we have been privileged to have a big part in that as a ministry. At any rate, that podcast is available in the near future on the web at equip.org. That's where you'll find the Hank Unplugged podcast. And let me segue into saying before we go to our callers that this is also the end of our fiscal year. I mentioned this last month, but it ends June 30. And I haven't probably done the best job in fundraising on the broadcast, quite frankly, because I don't like doing fundraising. I do like doing fundraising. But I thought instead of appealing to you to give, I would just read a little portion of Scripture that I was reading this morning. And I thought, you know what? It would be great to read this on the air. This is where the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Here, of course, Paul is quoting Psalm 112. And then Paul continues, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And I would simply say, here you have Paul's landmark teaching on Christian stewardship. The metaphor he uses is the sowing of seed for a harvest. And where does the seed come from? Well, of course, the seed comes from God Himself. So if you can sow seed, as it were, into the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, it will be used for God's glory, for the extension of His kingdom. Your input, your standing shoulder to shoulder with us is much needed as we get closer and closer to the end of our fiscal year. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And when you do, I want to send you a copy of Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation. And you'll see the significance of giving perhaps as strongly by reading that book as you ever have at any point in your life. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Jason in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. I was wondering why God considers skepticism to be bad. In other words, why does He require people to have faith in something that cannot be proven and then send them to hell when they don't?
Well, I don't think that God is requiring us to have faith in that which cannot be proven. Remember, the Apostle Paul, who I was just quoting from, says in the book of Romans that God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly understood from what has been made so that we are without excuse. So the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. And not only that, but God has given us an inner knowledge of Himself. He's written large upon the canvas of our consciousness. And certainly if we respond to the light of creation, the light of conscience, we also have the light of Christ. By the way, with respect to faith, it's also, I think, instructive to note that Paul makes the statement in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So I don't think it's a matter of having faith in something you can't believe in, but putting your trust in that which you do believe in. And in that vein, I would say that faith in an all-encompassing sense is more than just having knowledge. It is more than agreeing that that knowledge is true. It means that you are now putting your trust in that reality, that you are putting your trust in God. You know God exists. All people know that God exists. Because if you look at the heavens, you know God exists. If you listen to your conscience, you know God exists. Christ demonstrates that He's God in human. So we know that God exists, but now it is a step of faith to place your trust in Him so you're not trusting in the arm of flesh, but the arm of God.
Okay. Hold on a second. I don't believe that everybody knows that God exists. But for the sake of the argument, let's say that we do. All right. I happen to think that there is a God, and let's say that everybody knows that there is a God in their hearts. That's not to say that the God of the Bible is necessarily that one true God that they know that's in their hearts. So the question is, how do you prove that the Bible is the Word of God? You know, that's got to be part of it. So let's start from there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and your argumentation is very, very sound. I think that if I use the Bible as my method of instructing you with respect to this question, I ought to be able to demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And to that end, if you're interested, I wrote a book titled Has God Spoken? And I go through a systematic argument for believing that the Bible is the Word of God. I go from the evidence of the manuscript copies themselves, which you can use to get back to the autographs. I talk about archaeology, which demonstrates that the people, places, and particulars that you find in Scripture correspond to reality. I talk about prophecy that can never be pawned off to good luck, good guessing, or common sense. And then the internal integrity and harmony, or scriptural synergism of the Bible, which all collectively demonstrate that God has spoken, that His Word is reliable and is true. That book, by the way, available through our ministry and bookstores everywhere as well. But you can check it out on the web at equip.org. And call me anytime. Love to talk to you, Jason. Good line of argumentation and thinking. We're going to be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK.
God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohanan is one of those people. Never Give Up is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation by K.P. Yohanan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a few moments.
Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell, Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine, the indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick, why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohanan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Thank you.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to our phone callers and talk next to Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir. Hank, as you know, when Mark and Luke quote Jesus concerning the subject of divorce, they made no mention of the exception that Matthew did mention, which was adultery. So I'm wondering why Mark and Luke did not make any mention. And also, a second part to that question would be, if Mark and Luke mentioned no exception that Matthew did mention, is it possible that the one exception that Matthew did mention was also short of other obvious exceptions that might be possible?
I don't think so. And it's a very good question, by the way. But I think what you have to do here is take the whole corpus of Scripture and not read it just in isolated sound bites. So if you look at the Gospel writers are writing so that each is seen in the context of the whole. So you have the whole Gospel in the four Gospels, like the four points of a compass. And this exception clause that you're talking about is not given just once, as though you only find it in Matthew chapter 19. It is also found in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember where Jesus says, "But I say unto you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." So the clause is repeated in the Sermon on the Mount. But again, you want to take Matthew, Mark, Luke, John as combined wisdom. Each one of us are learning from each one of them as they present collectively the whole counsel of God.
Yeah, that's a good answer, Hank. But my final question would be, in addition to that, in association with that, is it not possible that if a man, for this is an extreme example, but if a man was a devil worshiper, an alcoholic, and refused to work, would that not be grounds for divorce as much or more than adultery?
Well, actually, the answer for that would be yes, if you take the whole counsel of God. In other words, if you make a theological deduction from the whole counsel of God, I would say yes. The answer is a resounding yes to your question. But again, there's an overarching principle here, and that is God hates divorce, and therefore the ultimate goal for every single person is not to look for a way out of a marriage, but rather to seek reconciliation. Because with reconciliation, you are emulating what God is doing and reconciling the world to himself.
Right. Well, thank you very much, brother. God bless.
Hey, good question. Thank you for the question. Tracy in Georgetown, Texas. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Okay. What I was wondering was, is hell, the pit of fire in hell, is that like metaphorically speaking, or is it actual a pit of fire?
No, it's a metaphor. You know, it's very, very clear in Scripture that fire is a metaphor. For example, fire can be used as a metaphor for the tongue, which puts the whole of the world on fire through slander. So very, very clearly, this is a metaphor. And I don't think we want to take it in a wooden literal sense.
Okay, because I was taking it in a literal sense. So I guess hell is actually just separation from God, to be dead.
Yeah, I mean, and we see that by looking at the whole of Scripture again. So, for example, when the Bible speaks of God's throne as flaming with fire and its wheels all ablaze. You intuitively recognize that there's an implied comparison here. If we read about the lamps of fire before God's throne, we immediately apprehend that there's more going on than merely fire. In fact, there's an explanation given in that same context that the lamps of fire are the seven spirits of God. So we know for certain that it's a metaphor. And the same thing is true very much as you just put it. There's a metaphorical interpretation of hellfire to demonstrate just how horrible eternal separation from the goodness and grace of God is. And so it's a very poignant and powerful way of describing this incredible torment of being separated from God, not just for moments or years or millennia, but forever and ever and ever.
Yes, I guess that would be a horrible feeling. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you so much for your time.
You got it. This is Jesus, of course, when he speaks about hell, he's speaking about incomprehensible things in comprehensible language, language that makes sense to us, language that alerts us to the fact that we would rather have our arm cut off in this life than spend an eternity separated from God. And of course, the language of the Bible is so clear with respect to the horror of hell and the fact that that being separated from God is a horror that is unthinkable. And yet many people will experience that. It's not because they can't believe, it is because they won't believe. I've written about this in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Thomas in Stuart, Virginia, listening on the web. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
My question was on the concept of the Ten Commandments being only ten. The premise being, in John 14:24, it says, those that do not love God do not keep his commandments. And then 14:15, prior to that, it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and my Father be with you. Paul also establishes that in Romans 3:31 that we are to establish the law. And then in 1 John 2:4, it says, if we say we know him and don't keep his commandments, we're liars. And then John 3:4 defines what sin is. So my question is, in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 34, where it cites it in the English translation, says Ten Commandments. But the word there is actually hadabarim, which means these things, the root word being words, sayings, or expressions, not mitzvah, which is the word for commandments in Hebrew. And I'm curious, how do we make that jump and then only limit it to those ten to be obedient, considering the ramifications of being sinful, and then also in Hebrews 10 of willful sin. And Christ said that he didn't come to do away with the law, he came to establish or fulfill it. But we also can't say that he removed anything from the law, because then he would have sinned, as seen in Deuteronomy 4:2 and Deuteronomy 12:32.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there are civil and ceremonial aspects of the law that Christ clearly, emphatically, and directly tells us no longer apply to us. For example, dietary issues. I think it's Mark chapter 11. It's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him, but that which proceeds from the heart. And then Mark appends those remarks by saying, in saying this, Christ declared all foods clean. In terms of the commandments and the numbers of commandments, you know, you can summarize all of the commandments in one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. How do we know that? Well, this is exactly what we read about in Romans chapter 12. And we also read about it explicitly in Romans chapter 13. This one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This question is so deep, so profound, and so good. Tracy, I wish I wasn't listening to the music right now, but I am, and my apologies to everyone else that is hanging on. Hopefully we can get to you on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation by K.P. Yohannan. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, and life matters more.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.